Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here. Monday, December 8th. My goodness, we're going to be right in the holiday season before you know it. I just picked up my Christmas tree from the Guardsman tree lot last night. So Christmas is all around us. It is great to see you. And oh, by the way, my Indiana Hoosiers are the unanimously ranked number one team in the country. You might have heard over the weekend, I had a hell of a weekend. All things considered, I haven't been this sports happy in a really long time. The most improbable thing since maybe the 2016 Cubs World Series championship or me getting married to Jillian is this Hoosier team. I mean, this is more improbable than all of that. Again, my grandmother in a Prius had a better chance of winning an F1 race than Indiana did of winning a Big Ten championship. It's unbelievable. So I'm incredibly happy. I hope you're happy too. I've said an awful lot about the Hoosiers and I don't want to even say anymore. I don't want to jinx anything. I'm so happy. What I'm not happy with is the freaking Golden State Warriors though. And we're going to get into that. And that's where we're starting today's show. We're going to have some things about the 49ers. Obviously we're going to get into the Warriors here to start the rip. I needed to have something other than football coming off of a bye week, start a show today. And look, hey, you know, I mean, the Warriors come back home off this road with a couple of wins that I know they can be happy about on the road. Whenever you find a win out there, Pat Spencer week comes to an end with him being the leading scorer in Cleveland. And then he was really good in Chicago in that blowout win over the Bulls. The Bulls are horrific. Warriors now don't play again until Friday. Four full days off. This is a really nice break for a team that has been on tilt since the beginning of the season. They've had a brutal schedule early going here, and they've been slugging it out without Steph Curry involved. Jimmy Butler playing really well. Draymond doing all he can. Jonathan Kuminga. It's the never-ending story. It never ends with this guy. Look. I really hope that in your relationship, you'll find a way to work it out. Every relationship has rocky roads and bumps, and being committed to that relationship and working it out is hopefully, usually, the best and right thing to do. But sometimes the right answer, as sad as it is divorce. I am ready for the Warriors Jonathan Kuminga divorce. It needs to happen. And how we got here, honestly, doesn't even matter anymore. It really doesn't. There's lots of blame to go around. There's lots of finger pointing. There's lots of, I think it's on Kuminga. It's on Kerr. It's on Dunleavy. It's on the decision to not trade this guy. No, we're going to play this guy. No, we're going to bury him on the depth chart. No, never mind Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, Steve Kerr has declared him a project, a starter, a permanent starter. Then back to the bench, now full on coach DNP. That's where we are again. We're right back to where this all began once again. Nobody trusts Jonathan Kuminga. Nobody, the Warriors don't trust Jonathan Kuminga. And I'm going to tell you, before you say this is all on Kerr and Kerr can't work it out, there's a reason why Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green keep subtly motherfucking this guy. They've had it. They've had it. When they're talking about players with agendas, they're talking about Jonathan Kuminga. This isn't Brandon Podziemski anymore that they're talking about. This is Jonathan Kuminga. Do you realize that Jonathan Kuminga only has one 10-rebound game? This is one of the most embarrassing, repetitive, does not come to an end stories and situations I have seen. It's one of the biggest energy sucks I have seen in my 20 years of covering Bay Area sports. This Jonathan Kuminga thing is officially no good for anyone involved anymore. It's not good for the Warriors. It's not good for Kuminga. It's not good for Nick Friedell and Anthony Slater and our friends who cover the Golden State Warriors. It's ridiculous. Imagine if there were a door frame in your house that was so low, every time you walked through it, you banged your head. Wouldn't you eventually decide it's time for me to duck or it's time for me to get a better door frame? But you're not just going to keep banging your head every day on something that doesn't fit. The way that the Golden State Warriors have banged their head on the doesn't quite fit Jonathan Kuminga that restricted business development, that restricted the ability to build a team around Steph Curry. It's gobsmackingly ridiculous for a team that isn't patently ridiculous. It's unbelievable that this continues to happen. Every single day you look, what is it with Kuminga? What is it with Jonathan Kuminga? Jonathan Kuminga, Jonathan freaking Kuminga. Oh my God, Jonathan Kuminga. Is he good? Is he bad? Is he happy? Is he sad? Is he pouting? Is he happy? Is he playing? Is he starting? Is he, who fucking cares anymore? Get rid of this guy. Trade him for someone that can help you now, because you don't need help later. You need help now. And guess what's happening right now? He's being devalued in every conceivable way. He doesn't fit. Well, that hurts value. He's not playing. That hurts his value. When he goes out and plays and goes 1-for-10 and gets DFA'd, or excuse me, not DFA'd, but DNP'd in the very next game, that hurts his value. His goofy knees now hurt his value. The fact that he can't get along with, you know, I'm not saying that he and Steph Curry are like, bah, 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 but the fact that he can't respond to one of the more positive coaches and players in basketball history, like it's crazy. And I know the Warriors are a little bit of a weird fit for some people. By year five, you know. By year five, you know. This guy doesn't fit. Guess who does? Pat Spencer. Pat Spencer gives, if you want to know the difference between a guy who's really out here playing hard tonight and a guy who isn't, just look at the two of them. Pat Spencer has an opportunity now to get some minutes, and he is playing his dick off. He's just playing as hard as possible. It doesn't fit. Why doesn't it fit? It's a shame that it I don't care anymore. I don't freaking care anymore why it doesn't fit. Normally, I root for families to make it through and not get divorced. We need a divorce here. This is like an abusive relationship, and we're the victims. I'm over it. Get rid of this guy. It's obvious. The team, the coach, and he do not fit. What are you doing? Are you going to wait for him to tank his own value even more? Are you going to wait for another bilateral, my knees are achy thing to come up? I mean, just do it. Just get rid of them. It's just come to an end. Just, we need conclusion here. The thumb twiddling on this guy has been insane. Absolutely freaking insane. It's hard to watch the Warriors knowing how much they have made things more difficult on themselves by their inability to get off the fence on this guy. Pick a side. Pick a side. You either put him in that starting lineup and you hammer him into your starting lineup and you better play hard every night and you beat the shit out of him behind Chase Center on 90 B. Yeah, Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green bully this motherfucker into playing hard. Or get rid of him, because they obviously don't like him and they don't think he's going to play hard. It's time. It needs to end. It needs to end. I'm over it. Smiley Dan. Falcor. I thought the never-ending story was what we were going to be talking about. The never-ending story. When he loses a Treu in the freaking mud, that's tough, man. Bay Area Raider. The dude always ruins the momentum. Always. And Otis is saying, sadly, yeah, Kuminga is probably gone. Here's the thing. It's not sad anymore. I got no emotions anymore other than end it. End it. End it. You know, what's the love? The opposite of love is not hate. It's apathy. I am so apathetic to Jonathan Kuminga. I just go. It's crazy. I've never seen a... You know, here's the thing. There are certain players. There are certain talents. where you wrestle with everything you think you know and you're trying to accomplish, and they're so good, and you just can't go, you know, just you got to try to figure out the way to make it freaking work because he's that good. You know, it's like what the Eagles, I guess, are going through with the A.J. Brown all year this year. Like, we know that they've had success with him. They know that this is a good player, but for whatever reason, it's just not fitting anymore, but they're going to stick with it because he's that good and could change again. Jonathan Kuminga's not that. Jonathan Kuminga's not that. And I'm not saying he'll never become that, but he won't become it here. That's for sure. You're not going to have a very good career when you're playing for a coach that cannot stand giving you minutes. And it's obvious that Steve Kerr, he says, I blame Steve Kerr. Philip, I mean, here's the thing. There's a lot of blame to go around. There's an awful lot of blame to go around. We thank Michael, who's in here and now been a member for nearly 2 years. Michael, thank you so much. Thank you for liking, subscribing, becoming a member. I do appreciate it. He says, to borrow from the 40-year-old virgin, why do fans keep putting the JK on the pedestal? Look, I understand the allure. Like the one real athlete on the team, you want to have that guy around. The young guy with the upside feels like there's an awful lot of the Warriors sure could use that. But whenever they use it, it doesn't quite work. You know, Jonathan Kuminga hasn't put 3 good, consistent weeks together, maybe in his entire career. And now that everybody is just like, you know, this guy's looking at the tips of his own sneakers, standing in front of a locker, talking about DMPs. You just won. You just got a great game out of Pat Spencer. You just won 2 in a row on the road. You're back over 500. Like, this is a feel-good moment. And all the media attention is on Jonathan Kuminga. How come he's not playing tonight? Hey, Steve, you want to explain this? No, Steve doesn't want to explain it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Cheers. Again, I'm so happy about the Hoosiers. I had to find something in sports to make me mad, so the show had some spice to it this morning. I thank you for being here. Please hit like and subscribe. So again, the Warriors have a nice handful of days off here. You know, what is it like with Kuminga at practice? It's just, it's ridiculous. Absolutely freaking ridiculous what's going on. You know, Curry up in Sacramento before that playoff game, you know, when he said guys need to drop agendas, maybe he was talking a little bit of pods, but that's Kuminga. You got Draymond and Jimmy Butler, who just clearly ain't impressed. Yeah. And that's the thing. Got to wait until January 15th. Can you send him home until then, though? I mean, it's crazy. Here's the thing. If you got to wait till January 15th to make a move on Kuminga, you got to play him between now and then. You got to showcase what he can and cannot do. Now his value as a trade piece is being devalued, and he's devaluing the season, and he's devaluing games that he's in. Where's the value? What are you getting out of this? It's ridiculous. What is also ridiculous, if we can change gears just a little bit, since, you know, everyone does love the 49ers around here, why wouldn't you? Believe it or not, they go 4-0, they're the one seed. Yeah, that could happen. The 49ers are currently standing 6th in the NFC's seeding department right now. There's one more NFC team game to play tonight. We got the Eagles and Chargers on Monday Night Football. But they have moved up and out of the 7 seed, which now belongs to the Chicago Bears, who plummet after being number 1. They're now 7 after losing in Green Bay. And I told you they were going to lose in Green Bay. I know the Chicago Bears very well. I know that they just do not win in Green Bay. So I told you that was going to happen. And then they don't beat the Packers at Soldier Field really either, even though the Bears had a good loss. They played better. They weren't humiliated. They're not going to beat the Packers. The Bears never beat the freaking Packers. So watch them catch a couple losses. And guess what? Daniel Jones, I don't think he's playing again this year for the Indianapolis Colts. Sauce Gardner, who was their big trade, is hurt, and he's not playing right now. The Colts have lost 4 out of 5. I told you that was going to happen too. Actually, I said they were going to have a 5-game losing streak. They've lost 4 out of 5, so I almost got that one right. Colts always have about a 5-game loss. Just this is going to suck month in them all the time. And that's what's happening. So all of a sudden, it's the, hey, just beat the Browns. So they should ping a little harder on your radar. The fact that the Titans just beat the Browns isn't a bad thing for this coming matchup with the Titans. I think that makes the Niners focus even more on a game they might have taken lightly. I don't think they're dumb enough to take anybody lightly. But I think the Tennessee win is actually going to help the 49ers focus on how important it is to beat a 2-win football team, because the Titans win 2 in a row. That's officially a freaking streak, folks. So we'll see. The Niners should absolutely mollywop and destroy the Tennessee Titans. Colts aren't very good right now. Bears could be going in the wrong direction. This Seahawks game will either mean absolutely nothing or everything to wrap up the year, when the Niners are going to be coming out wearing what? They're all black unis for that final game against the Seahawks, which isn't even scheduled yet. That's got flex to Sunday night written all over it. So let's see what that game is from here to now. But man, this is the Niners have a, you know, these guys are slave to routines. They're very happy, I think, to have had a bye week, but now they're all happy to get back on their routines. And hopefully this is the week where Tatum Bethune can get a step healthier. Probably not going to go against Tennessee, but man, wouldn't that be great if he could? I think he holds a big key to whether this season ends the right way, strongly or not. Yetur Gross-Matos, let's see how you're going to be involved, if at all. We've hardly known you since you've signed with the 49ers. Cleveland Farrell, keep it up. Safety play, keep it up. Get Brian Robinson Jr. involved so McCaffrey reaches the postseason as healthy as possible. All of a sudden, some of you were ready to throw in the entire season. The 49ers could still be the one seed this year. Kyle Shanahan won't get mentioned in Coach of the Year conversation. The thing that's standing in the way of that happening is obviously a very good Rams team, a very good Seahawks team. And who would have ever thought that these teams would both be that good? The Rams, yeah. Seahawks, I'm telling you, if you can talk about, you know, put it out in the air, What could you possibly be wishing for right now? If you're a Niner fan, wishing that Sam Darnold turns back into a pumpkin should probably be on that wish list. Seahawks look great. They are just they're mollywopping teams. Rams are really good, mollywopping their teams. So, how unfortunate that the Niners, having a punching way above what their weight class was supposed to be with their injury season, has two legitimate heavyweights in their own division. They really do. But if they all finish 13-4, the 49ers got the tiebreaker and are the one seed. So do that, if you don't mind me saying. I suggest you do that. There you go. See, SF Indigo's keeping it real here. He goes, I was ready to throw out the season. There's a lot of football season in a football season. You can't go giving up on these things that early. Otis again says, I'm listening to Fox Sports Radio yesterday. They're talking about coaches of the year. Not a single host even mentioned Shanahan. He's off the board. He's out of sight, out of mind. It's funny. Kyle Shanahan is the guy who's not good enough to win a Super Bowl, but he's good enough to be so expected to have a great year, no matter the circumstances, that he can't even be mentioned in Coach of the Year conversations. I think the most significant thing that happened in the NFL yesterday was the laying down of the Kansas City Chiefs. This season has pretty much been laid to rest. I'm not saying that their dynasty is over or that they're having success. They'll never find it again. There's way too much talent in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But whatever the it is, they have lost it, and they're going to need to find it again this offseason. They'll be looking hard for it. But they have just not been right since losing that Super Bowl to the Eagles. And they were doing a lot of things that normally worked for them, and they just did not work. For the first time since high school, Patrick Mahomes came in with multiple interceptions and a lesser than 50% completion percentage. Since high school. So whatever the juju was, and I'm not talking Juju Smith-Schuster either, but whatever the juju was around the Kansas City Chiefs, they are juju-less right now. And that's obvious. That's obvious. What else we got going on today? What else we got going on today? There's a couple of other things that I want to get to, and then I got to tell you, I just got a DM on Twitter from Smiley Dan that kind of breaks my heart, and I think it's going to break some of your hearts too. We'll get to that at the end of the show today. Couple of other things, though, because we're never going to waste your time here. Jeff Kent is in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds is not, and because of that, what are we even talking about? What are we doing when we live in a world where Jeff Kent is in the Hall of Fame, but Barry Bonds will probably never be because they are fixing the game to make sure that he can never slide in the back door the way that Jeff Kent just did? So Fangraphs spelled it all out. This is a 16-member contemporary baseball era committee. And Jeff Kent was just the lone candidate elected to the Hall of Fame. He will be inducted in July of Cooperstown in 2026 alongside any candidates that are elected by the BBWA, Baseball Writers Association of America, the biggest group of fart-sniffing douchebags you will find in sports. Because I can tell you how hypocritical they are. Because they liked David Ortiz, that proven steroids user is in. And because they didn't like Barry Bonds, and they didn't like Roger Clemens, those two guys aren't. And this really is, did you like the guy or not? That's what this is. I think more than anything else, more than the I was so deeply offended by steroids, bullshit. If you voted for David Ortiz to go to the Hall of Fame but didn't vote for Barry Bonds, you are an absolute fraud of sports thinkery. Like, how can you even that out? What is the equals there? Proven steroid user in, guy who we all know did steroids, but never once flunked a test. Never once. Barry Bonds has tested positive for steroids as often as you have. Never. We all know what happened. We're not idiots. One guy caught red-handed, in. The other guy never caught, suspicion only, greatest player of all time, doesn't matter, out. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So based on a new rule introduced this year, all four are ineligible. All the guys who were candidates this year, but Kent who got in, they will be ineligible for consideration on the 2029 contemporary ballot because they got fewer than five votes. Barry Bonds got fewer than five votes from the 16-person panel. And Roger Clemens got fewer than five votes too. So they can't even be discussed by this group again until 2029. So all of this has been kicked down the road now for another few years. And then if they don't get five votes then they can't be on the ballot after 2032. And that, I mean, it's insane. If any candidate slips into the five or fewer votes from here on out, they'll be ineligible for future consideration. Now, baseball keeps changing its rules. And with the way that this is all trending on Bonds, they're going to have to change their rules again to give another path of another voters down the road, a few years from now, a chance to say, let's wrong this baseball or let's right this baseball wrong. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And by the way, you know, what can I say about Jeff Kent? He's in the Hall of Fame for all of the big home run numbers. He's got more home runs than any second baseman that ever played. They walked Barry Bonds to get to Jeff Kent all the time. That's how feared Jeff Kent was. And Jeff Kent was a very good player. Hall of Famer, maybe. Hall of Famer before Barry Bonds, when they played in the same era. That's insane. It's insane. And let me tell you, man, Jeff Kent, he did absolutely nothing, nothing to help get Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame. Nothing. Do I have this? Listen to what Jeff Kent had to say when, you know, hey, Jeff, you're a Hall of Famer now. We'd like to ask you a little bit about Barry Bonds. And he said, look, Barry was a good teammate of mine. He was a guy that I motivated and pushed. We knocked heads a little bit, but he was a guy that motivated me at times in frustration, in love, and at times both. I don't think I've ever seen a better player. For me, I've always said that I've avoided the specific answer that you're looking for when they was asked, should he be a Hall of Famer? And Jeff Kent, again, could have thrown Barry Bonds a life preserver, decided to toss out an anvil to help him swim into the Hall of Fame. If you're talking about a moral code and all that, said Jeff Kent, I'm not a voter. I'm trying to stay away from all that the best I can because I really don't have an opinion. I've left it. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't know if he's being, I know he's being argued among a lot of baseball elites if he ought to be in or not. Keep having that argument. You argue through it. If he's not, he's not. If he is, he is. It's not going to matter to me either way. It's not going to matter to me either way. Again, that's how much I didn't like Barry Bonds, is what Jeff Kent is saying. I don't care. People that you care about don't get put into that doesn't matter category. Here's the thing. You know it might not matter to you, Jeff. Do you think it matters to Barry? Oh, you don't even care that much about Barry to even think like that. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, this is it. Like, here's one time to say something positive as a newly elected Hall of Famer. Do you think Barry should be in? And Jeff Kent essentially has a no comment. I don't care. Just shows you, man, when you go through life, don't be a flaming asshole to everyone around you, which Barry Bonds took an awful lot of pride in. Barry Bonds was more comfortable if he knew you were uncomfortable around him as a player. Now that he's a pinpricked, deflated cyclist and is half the human being he used to be, in terms of, he's a very nice guy, smiling ear to ear. He's trying to do damage control because he knows that treating everyone like subordinate assholes for 30 years did not do very well by him. Again, David Ortiz smiled. So he's in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds never smiled at anyone. And that's why he's not. It's not about steroids at this point. I mean, that's something else. Oh, by the way, Marco Luciano DFA'd, another top prospect just out the door, out the door. Speaking of out the door, obviously the college football bracket came out. Indiana number, here's a sentence I've never said out loud before. Indiana is waiting for the winner of the Alabama-Oklahoma game to meet them in the Rose Bowl. Okay. There is one school from Indiana that is the pride of Indiana right now. And then there's another school that has to be, I think, a national disgrace. And that is Notre Dame. Notre Dame got jobbed. Notre Dame should be in the college football playoffs, probably. How about this? If they were in the college football playoffs, I think that they would be among the favorites to win it. They've got a 10-game winning streak. On the Dan Patrick Show, the Notre Dame AD basically mother, you know what, the ACC, saying that the ACC has forever damaged our relationship. You know, they lobbied for Miami. They didn't do any lobbying for Notre Dame. Well, of course, the ACC lobbied for a full-time participant, not a part-time participant. Here's what I would like to see college football come back with at Notre Dame after Notre Dame says, yeah, we're not going to a bowl game. By the way, who voted on that? Was that the coaches? Was that the administration? Was it the players? Do you think that one player who might have been playing his last ever football game would have liked to have played one more game in a Notre Dame uniform? I do know this. Notre Dame, you have every right to be upset at the selection committee. What you shouldn't be upset at is the one bowl game that really does want you. There was a bowl game out there that saw Notre Dame having a chance to come to them as pennies from heaven, and this is going to be the best freaking Pop-Tart Bowl or whatever. You know, but Notre Dame said, no, we ain't going to the Pop-Tart Bowl. Now, the only thing I know about last year's Pop-Tart Bowl or remember about it is that they had a selection of which Pop-Tart would be the celebratory game-winning Pop-Tart for the winning team. I don't remember who was in the Pop-Tart Bowl, and I don't give a shit. But it's crazy. It's crazy to think about, you know, what is college, right? Isn't college supposed to be teaching about, you know, integrity and sticking to it and not quitting when something goes your way? The message just sent to every player at Notre Dame by this team refusing to go to a bowl game is when you don't like something, just quit. Just quit. I'm old enough to remember when teams thought that they got jobbed, they would show up in whatever bowl game they did go to and try to murder the team across the line of scrimmage for them to make a point. Like, wouldn't it be a lot cooler if Notre Dame went to the Pop-Tart Bowl and won that game 65-0 over their opponent? Wouldn't that have made a statement? Like, you probably screwed this up, college football playoffs. What are we teaching young men? When things don't go your way, take your ball and go home? What is that? What is that? You know what I would like to see? I'd like college football to say this to Notre Dame now. No more independent teams are eligible for the college football playoffs. Go join a conference, you douchebags. Go do it. Go join a conference. You want to be treated fairly and better? Go join a conference. Or you know what I would like to see? And the other thing that I would like to see based on this, wouldn't it be something else? Wouldn't it be something else if the ACC was so offended by Notre Dame saying, screw this, we don't love you anymore. If the ACC decided, hey, Notre Dame, we're not scheduling games against you anymore. And then the Big Ten and the SEC decided that as well. Wouldn't that be something? Now the Big Ten is, or the Notre Dame is trying to scramble to schedule Texas Tech. Big 12 games, Big West teams, Notre Dame versus San Jose State. No team is going to want to be scheduling out-of-conference opponents that could damage their postseason resume. No team is going to want that. Why would anyone schedule Notre Dame? Why, seriously, why would you put Notre Dame on your schedule? Why would you help Notre Dame by giving them a big... If the SEC, the Big Ten, and the ACC all said, we're not scheduling Notre Dame anymore, Notre Dame would come crawling on its hands and knees to join one of those conferences. Otis, I love Notre Dame versus San Jose State would be interesting. No, it wouldn't. Notre Dame would destroy San Jose State. That would not be interesting at all. Love you, Sparty. That would not be interesting. Okay. We got a little today in history for you, and then I have a sad goodbye to share with you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Kim Basinger. Do you remember when Kim Basinger was officially like wearing the crown of hottest woman on the planet there for a minute? She really was. Like 9.5 weeks, Kim Basinger. That was, she was a big deal. Really big deal. LA Confidential made Kim Basinger like more respected later in her career than earlier in her career. She got the big, big blockbuster with Batman. She was in the Kim Basinger was hot as hell. And at 72, she still looked great. Happy birthday to the Bunk. Wendell Pierce, who played Bunk on The Wire, 62 years old today. Happy birthday, Wendell Pierce. By all accounts, a very cool guy. Very cool guy. Terry Hatcher, real and spectacular, 61 years old today. Nicki Minaj is 43. Dwight Howard is 40 today. And we don't do a lot of posthumous birthdays, but today would have been Sammy Davis Jr.'s birthday. And let me tell you, Sammy Davis Jr. had more talent in his 2 feet than I think the collective entirety of Hollywood has in all their collective entireties right now. Like, Sammy Davis came from a world where you actually had to be talented to be famous. And boy, was he ever. Today in 1542, maybe the greatest first week ever any human has ever had was being lived. How's this for the greatest first week of all time? Today in 1542, Mary was born in Scotland, and 6 days later, she was the Queen of Scotland. A six-year-old baby was the Queen of Scotland. Or, excuse me, six-day-old baby was declared, this is our sovereign queen. Mary, Queen of Scots, born today, 6 days later, that's the queen. That's a hell of a rookie year. That's a hell of a come up. In 5 days' time, you go from I'm born to I'm queen. 6 days, that's a hell of a run, Mary. Today in 1854, Pope Pius IX proclaimed that the Immaculate Conception was Roman dogma, stating that Mary was conceived without original sin. Well, if her and Joseph were married, like, it wouldn't have been sin. I don't know. Look, all I got to tell you is that they voted on that. So how much stock you want to really put into that? I mean, I don't know. Like, they decided, should we go with this story or that story? Which means it might be made up either way. I do not know. But the most wonderful time of the year is about to be ushered in. So let's all be nice to each other. And, you know, let's not put any skin on Mary. That just happened. Boom. Just magic. Today in 1941, you want to talk about market share? 81% of American households tuned in to FDR's A Date Which Will Live in Infamy speech. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor. Today is the day that most of America found out about it. News did not move quickly back in 1941. No one could send you that link. No one emailed anything. So news moved quickly, or very slowly at the time, and the date that will live in infamy speech delivered today in 1941. In 1952, you want to talk about, man, America used to be a different place. Like, it's amazing that we're talking about this on the same day that is Nicki Minaj's birthday, because I'm pretty sure that Nicki Minaj has shown everyone in America her vagina at this point, at least verbally. She wants to tell you all about it. In 1952, on I Love Lucy, the concept of a woman being pregnant was discussed for the very first time on television. But pregnancy on TV was such a taboo. And I don't know why. Like, women got pregnant before 1952, right? I think women were getting pregnant before then. It's not like pregnancy snuck up on anybody in 52, but they finally decided to start talking about it in 1952 when the original announcement was very, she said, me and my husband are about to have a blessed event. She wasn't even allowed to say pregnant. Like, forget about the seven deadly words, the F word. They couldn't even say the P word. Pregnancy was taboo to be discussed in 1952. And again, today, Nicki Minaj, I'm sure, is singing about wet ass pussy somewhere. Things have changed. Today in 1978, Christopher Walken, Robert De Niro. It was a monster. The Deer Hunter came out today in 78. I mean, you want to talk about maybe the most intense scene you've ever seen. That Russian roulette scene in Vietnam, the Deer Hunter. Oh my God. The way that movie shed a light on how Vietnam affected young men coming home. That is a story that takes place, again, half in Vietnam, half back in Pennsylvania, as steel mills were shutting down, like nothing captured, 1978, quite like The Deer Hunter. When John Cassavetes was in that, I think the guy who played Fredo. Another big day in terms of like, how did media change? How did we find out about things? Well, tonight on a Monday night football game in 1980, because Howard Cosell shared the news, America had found out that John Lennon was shot and killed by Mark David Chapman outside of his New York home at the Dakota. John Lennon shot and killed tonight. A global outpouring of grief started as most people found out about that because they were watching Monday Night Football. Today in 1995, we get a little closer to modern times. The Grateful Dead announced that they were officially breaking up because Jerry Garcia had passed away a few months earlier and they decided we cannot go on without him. They would obviously rethink that several years later, and Dead & Company was born, and they're still out there. But yeah, the Dead officially decided we are dead today in 1995. Today in 2010, SpaceX became the first commercial company to actually put a spacecraft in outer space. The Dragon capsule went to orbit and returned to Earth safely. That happened. To get even more closer to modern times, today in 2022, Brittany Griner got released from a Russian prison after several months of being imprisoned because she tried to bring weed to Russia. Now, she was probably in prison for other reasons as well and was without a doubt a pawn in a political game. But Brittany Griner, remember what a big deal that was for a minute? Brittany Griner came home today in 2022 and today in 2024. Taylor Swift dropped concert number 149 of her Eras tour and in 149 shows set a record of ticket prices. That tour made $2 billion. Imagine doing something, a show, 149 shows, and you're up $2 billion. I mean, I couldn't name a Taylor Swift song that wasn't Shake It Off. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I don't consume. I don't seek. I'm not here to hate on. I'm just not it. It's not my music. I heard she's good. That's great. She must be $2 billion worth of business over 149 shows. Can't be wrong. But that's amazing. You know, we got a cool little family here, don't we? We built a community. We got people who have met in the chat that they're on right now. We've got people who have become true friends in life and finding true friends in life and people that support you. It's important. It's good for your mental health. When I came to YouTube originally, long before we were at 49,000 plus subscribers, wherever we are today, please hit like and subscribe. We're trying to get to 50. We wanted to be there by the bye week. We missed that goal by a little, but we're still shooting. Very early on in this, a handful of people really stepped up to show support for what I was doing in this new venture. Meant an awful lot to me. There was a day where Ike's was opening a restaurant. I even forget where that was happening, but a whole bunch of people came out to support me at that moment, and it meant an awful lot. It meant an awful lot. The people who have come out to Plus Manias, and by the way, I was just up supporting Larry at Pig in a Pickle. Yesterday, I went up to support his get-together because I remember the people who supported me early on, and I always want to support the people who have supported me. This is a reciprocal relationship. I really do appreciate it. One of those guys who was there front and center, who had listened to me for years on the radio, was Ernie. I think you've met Ernie. Ernie's been at a lot of our Plusmania events. Ernie was there at that day at Ike's. Ernie was there at Plusmanias 1, 2, 3, and 4. He was at the Dubliner. He was at the Halfway Club. Ernie was a great guy, and I hate to talk about him in past tense. But today, just before this show started, I got a DM from Smiley Dan, who was very, very close to Ernie. And if you have been at these, maybe you don't recognize the name, but you recognize that guy. Ernie, sadly, passed away right after Thanksgiving. And I just found out about this today. I just found out about this 5 minutes before the show started. Thank you, Smiley Dan, for letting us know that we lost one of ours. And this is definitely, truly one of ours. Ernie was a huge part of the first wave of any and all plusing that we have ever done. And I love you, Ernie, and I'm sad for your family. And thank you for your support. And we can only say you were a really, really kind-hearted, generous person. Just friendly and supportive. When I really needed it the most, you were there for me, Ernie. And I'm so sorry that I have to be the bearer of bad news on this with you. It is so sad. So I just want to leave Ernie's picture up there as we end today's show. Thank you, Smiley Dan, for letting me know. And I know that he was a very, very close friend of yours. So I'm sad for you today, Dan. I'm sad for all of us. You can see the reaction here in this chat right now. This one hurts. Ernie, thank you. Your support meant an awful lot to me. It really, really did. Sports don't build character. They reveal it. Rest in peace, Ernie.